Hi, everyone. This is Cody from Billings Public Library, and welcome to U Media Network Radio. Today is July 1st, 2016, and we'll be talking about post-emergent library makerspaces with the MakerJohn team from Philly. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start, before we get into kind of your program, what's going on, you just want to introduce yourselves and say who's on your team, who's with us today.
Absolutely. So this is Sarah, and I am the MakerJohn coordinator, manager of the MakerJohn program.
Great. My name is Clarissa, and I'm a Maker Mentor.
My name is Goda, and I'm a Maker Mentor, and our team has 6 more Maker Mentors that we work with at 5 different libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thanks for joining us again today. So why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about your program, some of the challenges you come up against, and especially when you start thinking about this post-emergent time frame, what does that mean for you guys, and what kind of things are you really looking at as far as being post-emergent?
Okay. MakerJohn is mostly an after-school program during the school year, and during the summer we have hours 1 to 4 at every library that we work in, so 5 libraries. I think, Goda, do you want to answer how we are a post-emergent type of
Sure. So we've been a program that's been in existence for multiple years, and it's evolved throughout that time. And when we started thinking about being in this post-emergent phase, some things that came up were that in that process of evolution, we kind of had, in some sense, lost a sense of a mission statement, and so part of our work for the post-emergent project was to create an updated mission statement based on our work and the progress so far, and also to base our future work and progress around. We also realized that we needed a clear and new definition of the maker-mentor positions because they had evolved to include not only working at the sites and mentoring youth, but also kind of taking on more programmatic tasks like outreach and planning events outside of our regular programming, managing the office and the inventory, and developing curriculum and programming. So figuring out how to fairly and equitably divide that among staff with many skills but limited hours was kind of another issue that we were facing. Another need that we had was to inventory our equipment as well as to identify staff skills and areas where we needed professional development, both in terms of equipment use and programming and curriculum, but as well as like mentoring skills and soft skills. And then kind of the last challenge that we identified as a post-emergent space was a need for mentors to have context for what we're doing and to know that this is a national movement within libraries and also museums. And that these makerspaces exist around the country that are doing similar programming, that we can share resources with them and learn from each other. So kind of the Hannah and Sarah came up with a framework for working on these problems that they called a core workout, kind of like looking into how we can build up on all those different elements that we realized weren't really structured or organized for us anymore at this stage.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, so those are some great post-emergent things to think about. So what was your kind of process in identifying these problems? I mean, certainly, how does it kind of compare to the, like you said, you know, the first couple of years of being open and the problems you face then, or how different are they from that kind of, opening couple of years as opposed to what you're doing now?
I can speak for certain parts of that. When Sarah and Hannah went to the post-emergent conference in January, and they arrived back with ideas for how to restructure the program, and actually just more reflection and more transparency looking into where we were currently. I had only been at MakerJohn since October, so I think that had been a couple months into my employment here. So I guess if we're starting to talk about how MakerJohn looked before we identified our problems with practice, that might be better answered by either Sarah or Goda.
Well, it seemed like initially the issues we were thinking more about were what kind of equipment should we get? What kind of, like, how do we engage the patrons at the library? Like, what times are good to schedule programming for? And so the those were kind of the initial concerns. Mm. But then after getting to know who our audience was, it was a lot. And, you know, we maybe kind of just had some ideas from reading, like, how to start up your maker spaces and sort of seeing what other folks were doing. But then getting a better sense of who our actual audience was, like, who our repeat participants are that come, what the age range is, what their needs are, and then working from there.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Kind of the difference, I think. Right. Like, actually working from experience rather than from what we think we should expect.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good. So during this whole post-emergent kind of project and problem-solving process we're going through, what have you guys been doing as far as, like, observation goes in your space? Like, how are you going about, you know, addressing these problems that you talked about a little bit about, but how you go about kind of looking at how it's playing out in your spaces?
I feel like I can answer this. So we've come up with a system where our mentors have a weekly meeting, and after each weekly meeting, we write reflections on different topics that are relevant to the post-emergent process. And then the reflections are reviewed by the post-emergent committee, and we use that to make decisions about the direction of the program. So the reflection topics have included, like, challenges we're facing at site, equipment we'd like to have, ideas for moving forward as our funding changes, and we need to adapt our programming accordingly. The reflections have been a great way to incorporate on-the-floor experience that the mentors have into strategizing for the future of the program. So that's a big thing that we've been doing, an initiative.
Okay. So, and you guys, so the weekly reflections, do you come and give the mentors topics, or is it kind of just, you know, what they think of at that week?
Both. Some weeks it's open-ended, but most weeks we have something specific. And then anytime, you know, so it's kind of like, what are some supplies, green supplies you wish you had at your site? What are some challenges you've been facing at your site over the past couple months? Kind of questions like that. But then people can feel free to also add anything else that maybe they didn't get a chance to actually say at the meeting.
And it can also be for things that we're thinking about for the future of the program. Like, our, one of our recent reflections was considering a kit kind of program structure that might come into play nearing the end of our funding. So that's also linked into the post-emergent aspect of our program.
Yeah, at the beginning, it was much more open-ended. So this was actually part of the post-emergent process also, in that it was so open-ended, and then there was feedback that it was difficult to come up with. Everybody had very different things that they were talking about, and it wasn't as useful in the reflective process. So having prompts were a better way that we could have a more pointed, focused conversation and actually be able to execute and make changes or updates.
So, like, a really specific example I can think of is actually for planning for the summer. In the spring, we asked all the mentors to write about what their kind of dream projects would be for the spring and what they would need to make those happen. And then we took that back to the group that was working on, like, program and curriculum development, and kind of came up with stuff based around that so that everybody's input was considered in the process for planning for our summer programming.
Nice. So you guys, you have 5 branches, right, that you all kind of work with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you find it, so do you do this, all 5 branches do this every week, and then you all compile them for the post-emergent committee? Or do you find it difficult to kind of work with all 5 branches and the mentors and stuff, where they kind of travel around?
So we have a staff meeting where we all meet, all the mentors from all the different branches meet together every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that,
yeah, that's nice. I know a lot of places have multiple branches and it can be tough, but good enough.
I would definitely say that people's experiences vary branch to branch. Attendance varies and age range varies, and so does the space itself. So I think that really influences how people respond to the reflections and what their dream projects are, what kind of activities they want to bring to their branch. It really depends on the community that's present as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what kind of post-emergent findings and observations have you been making? You said the reflections have been going really well. Is it helping everyone both kind of stay focused and, you know, give you a plan moving forward? Has there been anything else that's been sticking out to you as you've been doing this project?
I think part of what does stand out to us is that we have a lot of requests from kind of other organizations within the library system that we have to accommodate in certain ways. And that doesn't necessarily, I don't want to say it takes us off track, but it seems that a lot of the work we've done, specifically for our badging program, is going to look a lot different in the pilot version than it would maybe if it was given a little more time. Personally, I think it's a good idea, though, to kind of move forward with it. So, for example, PYN, which is Philly Youth Network, they asked us to write curriculum for a summer program for them to train teenagers for college, college
readiness,
college prep, college readiness. So basically we structured a curriculum for how many weeks? 6 weeks. So we have a 6 week curriculum for the PYN people, and we're about to present it today and talk a little bit more about how that relates to Maker John, you know, what kind of aspects of PYN are similar to our regular programming, and also how it's different. So that's a big project that kind of came into our lap, you know, I don't want to say last minute, but maybe with a month's notice or so. So in that case, it was really important for us to be flexible and kind of change the direction we were heading in. So I would say that that's one of the obstacles to kind of continue reflecting on our program in a transparent way, is that we have these obligations from other aspects of the library. So I think, you know, it's a fun thing, and it's kind of exciting to be, you know, very flexible at last minute and, like, contributing to these other programs, which is really great. But at the same time, it does affect the post-emergent reflection process as well.
And I would say that having a more defined mission statement, which was part of our post-emergent work, has been really helpful when that stuff comes up, because then we can go back and make sure that even if we're changing things, it still matches with what our, or even if we have to adapt things based on the needs of the library or different whatever else is going on, it still is going back to the roots of, like, what our mission and goals are as Maker John.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys find, or do you think that, you know, with this post-emergent time, are you finding that you're doing more kind of tinkering or changing the mission statement, or is it really just a time to kind of fine-tune and get back to what you're doing? You know, how much of it is changing the direction, how much of it is kind of reorienting yourselves?
Well, I think that our original mission, we didn't really have an original mission statement that was really concrete, and we just kind of were like, we're this open-ended program that kind of focuses on STEAM was our idea. But when we really looked at what we were doing, I'm actually trying to pull it up on my phone real quick to figure out if I can read it. But basically we were just like, well, we want to maintain an open space for people to explore their interests, and we want to be supported in that space, and we want to, like, scaffold on people's skills, both soft skills and hard skills. And that was kind of, so it was a refining, and it was a refining based on what we were actually doing at the sites instead of maybe what we had previously just been vaguely mm-hmm. thinking we were saying we were doing, if that makes sense.
And we started with the post-emergent work. That's what we started with,
mm-hmm.
was with the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
So then everything that we did was based off of, after that point, was based off of our mission statement and whether or not that aligns with it.
Yeah, so I can just read it real quick. It's Maker John aims to provide a unique space for community members in North Philadelphia libraries where self-directed experimental and experiential learning is promoted through a focus on creativity, critical thinking, and skill building.
So that's the mission statement that we arrived at after asking all the members of Maker John, what do you think our mission statement is? And really breaking it down into what is it that we actually do? What is it that we hope to do? What does our grant say we're supposed to do? And then reflecting on that and pulling it together and synthesizing it into a really meaty kind of one sentence statement. Yeah.
Okay, great. You just talked about how a little bit you were working with some other aspects of the library. Have you guys found that, you know, being post-emergent now, is it difficult to kind of fold back into the library, or has the library's perception or maybe some other patron's perception of Maker John, the whole thing, has that changed at all? Is it gaining traction? Is it, you know, are we having difficulties with certain aspects of the other library, or how's that working out?
I would say it's different based, I think that within the libraries we've actually worked, at, the program has become more and more valued over time and more seen as like an integral part of the library and sort of integrated itself with other things going on. So over this past year, we piloted a collaboration with LEAP, which is our after-school program, after-school homework help program in Richmond. And so we've done a lot more kind of collaborative programming with them, which has enabled larger scale, more long-term projects to take place, and that has been very cool. But maybe, Sarah, you're more able to address kind of the aspect of within the library system as a whole, how we've been viewed more recently or how that's changed.
So the library system is, we definitely have been able to move outside of North Philly. That's where our funding really is. And so we have been able to, we've had different parts of the library because our library system is so large. We have 54 libraries. And compared to other library systems, that's a lot. And so we had to start small. So we started with one library, and we were up to six, and one had to close for renovations, so we're back down to five. However, I have been approached by coordinators of other parts of the city. Our library system is broken down into clusters, and there are actually, I believe there's eight clusters at this point, so we're in one. And so the goal is really to get our programming into all of the clusters. So we have been to other clusters meetings where all of those employees are all together at one point. There is another one we're going to later in the fall. So there definitely has been some traction, but we've been a program for 3 years, and to still be it just is a little bit bureaucratic, and it's a large system, and so it moves a little bit slowly.
Mm-hmm. And I would also add that we do show our faces at certain library events. Like, for example, there's the grand opening of the South Philadelphia Library that we set up programming there for the grand opening and had maybe 300 people come in and out. So they're now aware of Maker John, even though it's not in the South Philadelphia Library. It will probably spark some interest. So we're really trying to, you know, attend events, kind of network with people and see, and just, you know, raise awareness for what our program does and who we are, because it is easy to get lost in a library, you know, with a system of 54 libraries with so many different programs, but we really hope to make Maker John kind of a staple for most programs, yeah, for most libraries.
Right. And it definitely seems that, like, long-term programming at a particular site or library is what really gets investment. And so a lot of times when staff from those libraries go to other places, then they're the ones writing in and saying, can I get Maker John at my new site? Or, you know, it's kind of like, I think exposure is great in the kind of more one-off events. And we do some professional development with staff at different libraries, too, throughout the year. And I think that's really great. We share our resources and curriculum. But at the same time, I think that like, actually, like, seeing the programming over time is what really builds, like, interest in it among others and buy-in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sounds great as far as the library goes. So when it comes to kind of networking, especially with outside groups, you know, social collaborators, groups in your city, things like that, how have you noticed that relationship kind of changing? Because I know a lot of makerspaces, certainly new media network, you know, when they start up, they have to have local groups, you know, people backing them, supporting them, saying they'll help out. Have you noticed big changes or struggles with those kinds of relationships going forward, you know, a couple years in or anything like that?
So those relationships have changed. And really it's kind of like staff coming and going, different depending on the direction that the program itself is going. We might use a collaboration or collaborate with someone more often. For example, Goda had spoken about the LEAP, the after-school programming that we kind of started. We've been trying to do a partnership with them but it hasn't really worked, and so we just made it priority this year. And that has been very helpful, I think, for the libraries that we're in. Our program is more robust because we're in it together. We're going in the same direction instead of trying to go in multiple directions within the same space. So I would say we have built a sense of community in our libraries and between different organizations, but some of them come and go, and sometimes it's not necessarily our programming. Maybe they didn't have funding. I can think of one specifically that they actually had to go away because they didn't. They were also grant funded, and they were not able to secure enough funding to continue. And so does that answer the question sufficiently?
Yeah, no, that's a great thing to think about. I mean, it can be difficult to kind of think about the other group's point of view or whether you're collaborating with sometimes. So that's good to think about.
And I think just to add on to that a little bit, too, is, like, I think, I don't know if this is, like, how I've noticed this pattern or what kind of a pattern it is, but I definitely feel like we've gone more from collaborating with, like, groups and institutions to collaborating with individuals in the community, like artists and different just community organizers and stuff for kind of, like, special orientation programs. So we had a whole program at one of the libraries around, like, local food and cooking. And we had some urban farmers and different people working in food in the city come in to participate as part of that. And I think that some of that has actually grown into, like, a more longer relationship between one of those groups and that particular library branch. But so it's been, like, I feel like when maybe we started out, the collaborations were, like, a little bit more top-down, where now they're really, like, need-based. And if we identify that these kids at this library or the patrons at this library are interested in this topic, let's bring somebody in to, like, support that or, like, build on that beyond what we can just do as mentors. And I think that's the direction that our collaborations have gone into. Instead of somebody coming to us saying, like, oh, like, we'd like to do this project, and us being like, well, that doesn't really necessarily make sense with what we're trying to do, you know?
Yeah. Nice. Well, great. So kind of moving back to this post-emergent project that you're working on, you know, you talk about the mission statement and, you know, you talk about the reflection that you're doing to address that, which is great. So what, if you kind of had to, you know, condense it in almost like a general kind of statement, what are the really post-emergent characteristics of the problem that you're tackling? What would you think about that?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, even though I've been here probably almost 10 months, I think. What I'd like to say about that is just that seeing that there's a lot of turnover even since I arrived, maybe 4 or 5 mentors have left to do different work, and then more new mentors have come in. Having staff turnover is a big part of a post-emergent program because we want to know that there's a certain amount of security. And I think that we do stand on the shoulders of the individuals who do it. So we're really working to develop a system that will remain in place after certain people leave the program so that it can run effectively. You know, we're concerned about the longevity of the program as a post-emergent program, just naturally if a grant is a 3-year grant and we're in the second year of a 3-year grant, then we're thinking about, well, what will the program look like after the grant is over and how can we change that and make sure that the impact is still felt effectively in the libraries we're in, even after maybe individuals have gone on.
Great. So what kind of advice would you give to other libraries in carrying the same problem as they move into this post-emergent phase?
Do you want to answer that? Or? Okay. I would say that one thing we find really effective, and that personally I find really effective, is to focus on what is successful about our program and focus on creating spaces where, you know, makers feel welcome and where community members feel welcome. And, you know, like I was saying before, making sure that the impact is felt even after the program might change and look very different a year from now or 2 years from now. We'd still like people to know that Maker John is something that, you know, is part of the community and will live on in many ways, you know, even after perhaps the funding has run out, or if there are, like, 5 people instead of 8 people, you know, there's lots of different ideas we have. And I think that for me, focusing on how we can make this a long-term impact and something that people will remember and continue to engage with is probably the most uplifting thing about the work we do, especially seeing individuals' progress who come in. Do you think you could talk a little bit about Musa in terms of, like, what he's
been doing at the library?
Yeah, are we just talking about great things? Sorry.
Well, yeah, we're talking about,
oh, okay.
Yeah, advice to other libraries. We're focusing on what's successful in a post-emergent situation.
Yeah, so I've been at the Widener Library for 2.5 years, and the programming there takes place 2 days a week, usually sometimes three. And there's been a few kids that I've seen there, probably like 5 to 7 kids that I've seen pretty much that whole time that I've been there, and one that particularly really stands out is the person named Musa who was there, and he started out, he was 13, and now he's 16. His birthday was earlier this week, actually, and he's been coming to library almost every day, and he, over a course of about 2.5 years, produced this 20-minute-long science fiction gangster movie, and that involved, like, making all the other kids be his actors and making working with everybody else to make costumes and props and write music for the film and, like, shoot it and edit it. Add special effects, just kind of this really, like, giant project. And then we ended up in a kind of in collaboration with that also putting on a futuristic fashion show with the rest of the students at the library. And so I think being able to pull on and have this big, like, celebratory premiere that probably about 60 people have showed up to, including, like, family members and community members and stuff. And I feel like a project like that, we also collaborated with our league leader, Miss Kathy, there, but a project like that would not really have been possible without being in that library for so long and without having consistency in, like, you know, programming and the mentorship and the kids wanting to come back over and over again. And so I feel like while there definitely have been challenges, it's been definitely great to see, like, the long-term effects of a program like this and kind of what can happen if we're doing programming that's really responsive to the needs and interests of the patrons. And of other, and kind of also responsive to the skills of other people at the library. So, and figuring out how to, like, employ everything, put everything together and bring it all into some project that, you know, builds people's, like, self-esteem and sense of what they're able to accomplish.
Nice, great. So kind of wrap it up here in a second before we get there. When it comes to, you know, working through this problem, you know, working on this big post-emergent project, were there any new kind of foils to the problem or new sides to it you realize as you're looking through it, or are there any kind of big surprises that became apparent as you worked through these issues?
I don't know if you would necessarily say surprising, but one of the biggest things for us being able to do this post-emergent reflective time has given us the opportunity to actually take a look at what we're doing and look to the future instead of just willy-nilly, okay, we're doing this, and then this person wants at this location was like this, so now we're going to change our direction, and then we're going to change our direction. With the mission statement, we've been much more intentional, I would say, with our programming, and so some of the things that have come out of that is that we've just said yes and yes and yes, and so the way that our program currently is isn't sustainable with the fluctuation in funds and the current situation with the library not necessarily supporting us financially. So we're really grant funded. We're very, very small amount of our funding comes from the library system and from the city. And so while we want our program to be able to, as Goda was talking about, be flexible and be things that the makers, the patrons want and be able to change and grow with those skills and knowledge and experience, we need to make sure that what we're doing with our staff and the number of locations and our equipment, that is sustainable.
And I think to add on, or just another surprise kind of that's become apparent to me personally, is that I think for a long time as part of our program, I felt like we, I don't even know how to phrase this, but kind of like maybe felt a little insufficient, or like we don't really have that many 3D printers, and like we don't do just tech projects, and we do a lot of like kind of like tactile work and stuff like that. But I think that working through the mission statement and kind of really, like Sarah said, like taking time to reflect on it and talk about it, I think that I really realized just how responsive we are to the actual needs of the patrons. And so while it's complicated to figure out how to, like, keep working in that way with, you know, limited funding and kind of, like, not full support from the library in the future, it's been positive. I feel like it's been good for, like, the self-esteem of the program to kind of realize, like, oh, no, we're not lacking in any way. We're actually really special in these different ways because we're being responsive to what the needs of the library patrons are rather than doing some more, like, top-down kind of thing that we're bringing in.
Nice. All right. So, I mean, that was kind of a good wrap-up, I feel like. So were there any last thoughts, final takeaways you want to throw out before we end our session? Anything you want to, the general, you know, how you think the project's going overall so far?
I can say that as somebody who is relatively new to the program, I found this immensely helpful in kind of understanding the program more clearly. I know when I first arrived at Maker John, I got a lot of different explanations from a lot of different people about what it was we were doing and how we were trying to do it. And then coming, you know, in January, seeing what Sarah and Hannah brought back from the conference and really taking the time to break down our program and reflect on it, it really helped me feel like I was part of something bigger and like we were able to contribute in a more concrete way to the program. Or that's how I felt, absolutely. I think it's been very valuable work.
Okay, great. Well, that should do it. That's about our half hour. So thanks for joining us. To listen to or to participate in any more of these conversations, ask questions, or share resources with colleagues nationally, I want to tell everyone to join the UMedia Community of Practice, which is at community.umedia.org. Thanks again for Maker John for joining us. That was a great conversation. I'm sure it will be helpful for everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Billy.
All right, so yeah, until next time, have a good day. Thanks, guys.
All right,
bye.
Bye.